Welcome to a special closed session of the Community Services District on December 28th, 2006, to discussing the implications of 2701 dissolution, SRF loan, et cetera, and all the interrelatedness about that. And when we come out of closed session, we'll have a full report from closed session, and that's all our meeting is going to be about tonight, is the current status of all of those issues. So just wanted to start out by bringing that out. We may discuss any of the other lawsuits that are listed on this form, but the main one is Los Osos Community Services District ND06-10548 in Federal United States Bankruptcy Court, Central District of California, and the County of San Luis Obispo versus LOCSD ND06-10548, Complaint of Declaratory Relief and Injunctive Relief. So, starting with that, public comment, please. Okay.
Public comment.
All right. Happy holidays, everybody. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low Income Housing. My message is really simple and short. I think we need to focus the reason why we're doing all these lawsuits offer two basic reasons. The group that's opposing you wants a $37,000 sewer. The group, your group, has the ability to put up a $7,000 sewer. This one is sustainable, environmentally protective, low energy use. This one is an energy hog, and it's very, very expensive. My message is that over the next few months, while all these legal wranglings are going on with the county and with the water board, state, we need to focus on what we're talking about here. We're talking about an affordable environmental project versus an unaffordable, unsustainable, ridiculous project. So we need to remember why we're here, why we're going to all these meetings, why we're doing all this, why we're spending all these monies on Burke Williams and Sorensen and other law firms. And it's because ultimately we stopped the project because this was a bad project so that we could provide a good project. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bearden.
You have no right to dissolve the CSD while there are still people out there who would be glad to take your place. You should have resigned before the election so that someone else could take your place without.
Mr. Payne.
Thank you. Good afternoon, board, staff, and members of the public. I'm Bruce Payne, resident of the Prohibition Zone, Los Osos. As of next Tuesday, it will be against the law for you to try to design any kind of wastewater treatment, collection system or treatment or effluent disposal. It's against the law. Our sleazebag politician who stood right in line waiting to speak to you while Mrs. Robertson stood here and told me that everything in the back end of AB 2701 was already law, but it was not. It was about five pages of amendments to already law. Mr. whatever politician stood in line, I went back and asked him about that, isn't this amendment? Somebody said no talking in the back of the room, but he still had unlimited time at this podium to have told you and the public that that was not already law, that it was a mistake by Mrs. Robertson, either accidentally or on purpose, to say that. And this makes him a sleazebag, in my opinion. He's done nothing to help this community. He's made it against the law for us to design our own project. He's also given the checkbook to the county, who, by the way, we worked very hard to take that checkbook away from three people who thought there was no limit to how much we could spend. And we end up with three more people that stopped the project, and the last thing they did was stop the project. Have caved in every time. Now you're talking about an interagency agreement when you have no right by law to make any decisions. You're not going to have an interagency agreement. But if you quit, we got no voice with the county. We already went in and talked for, wasted our 3 minutes after driving that far and burning up the gas and wasting that much time waiting to try to get them not to hire Crawford, Mulberry, and Clark. We even had a board member come up and tell how much money they wasted for the past board. And what happened? We got a big speech about how we must be sensitive to Los Osos since the last three elections, and then voted unanimously to hire Crawford, Mulberry, and Clark. We got no voice. We talk to people that don't listen. I'm sick of talking to people that don't listen. But we need somebody to fight for us, and we got you in office, and you ran in office.
Chris Alvey, Los Osos. Amen, Mr. Payne. Now, there's a letter in the December 27th Tribune that kind of scared me. To me, this is the ultimate nightmare. The writer suggested replacing all of you with five losers from the last election. That just makes one hell of a lot of sense. As far as your... it's my understanding, I might not have read the absolute last edition of 2701, but it's my understanding that your board, and hence us, have absolutely no say in the design of the wastewater system. You just don't. Now, on your, you guys are talking about leaving. We need you in there. There's a lot of other stuff going on besides the wastewater project. And there's still the matter of the CDOs. Right? Maybe you guys have nothing to do with the project now, but the CDOs are still left in the lurch. At the last... hearing there, I was a little disappointed not seeing you guys sitting in the front seats, but we can talk about that later. When you're talking about loans, really look into the SRF interest-free deal. I'm almost sure that that can be done, but you won't be able to get anything. If you don't try, it's my understanding you just need a vote in the House, in the State House of Representatives, to get the loan. But it's just interest free. You're talking $20 to $22 million right there, and that's about all I have now. I'll have some more at the general meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just asking for the next. Thanks, Chris. If anyone else will
brush up against the tide, and you'll see a lot of splashing in the water, and that's probably what's going to happen tonight, because the billboard in the entrance to town announces this meeting, and then it says dissolve ? Now I know specifically that the CSD did not authorize that specific wording, so my question is, and I promise to be harsh, did you learn nothing from Stan? We have been dealing from the very beginning with black PR. It's plain and simple. This isn't, to the degree that this wasn't ever about the sewer, in terms of tactics, we've been dealing with a lot of black PR. Ecclesiastics, which has figured out a very long time ago, says there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's happened so far from a PR standpoint by this CSD has been a PR failure. Very simply because of a failure of recognition of the strength of the PR from the other side. And the other side actually isn't all that good. All you need to do is read the letter to in the Bay News that was a couple of weeks ago, tormenting Los Osos. If you step back and just read that and ask yourself the question, what would a pompous bunch of hui people. I mean, how pompous can you get? That alone should indict those people. This is very clear an area where we can reach people's hearts and minds. A while back, Bruce Buell had a discussion with Stan, and in that discussion, Stan said, and I don't know if the numbers are precise and what exact date that was, but he said, can you spend $11 million before the election? And Bruce said, yes. Now, this is clear evidence of front-loading a project, if you ever seen one. And if we present that kind of stuff to the water board, they'd know where we're coming from. Instead, we've always been reeling on our heels. You know, you can spend all the money you want on lawyers, but if you've got the best money lawyers can buy, lawyers' money can buy, you can't beat the best judges.
Okay, because I wanted to kind of focus on the bankruptcy procedure. We found out at the last closed session that former Director LeGros was on the creditors committee. As the representative for Taxpayer Watch. And there was some discussion in the room that night, and I think with counsel, the bankruptcy attorney, about whether Taxpayer Watch actually was a viable entity to be appointing somebody to the committee. Have you discussed that? Are you planning on discussing? Are you going to look into it? And my second question is that if he continues as a member of this committee, he basically is representing 3,200 people in Los Osos. That's what we've been told Taxpayer Watch's membership is, even though in court proceedings their makeup, their structure is very vague. My understanding is it's just an email list of 3,200 people. Where I'm going is, if that's the case, then I believe there's a conflict of him being on the creditors committee and also possibly being appointed to the 11-person county committee to oversee the county's process on the sewer. I think there's a definite conflict there. I definitely think there's still a conflict with Mr. Buell being involved in a couple of the court cases. Even being asked, it still bothers me that the county asked him, but I really have a problem with Mr. LeGros being possibly on both committees. I've attended all of the committees that Mr. LeGros has either chaired or vice-chaired since he's been in office, and you know, bluntly, his powers of deductive reasoning are very weak, in my opinion. And I don't think that's what this community needs as a representative on either of those committees. And there's more to come on that. But if we could get some clarification, or if that's been part of the discussion, I'll save my other comments on dissolution till tonight.
Mr. Sennett?
Here.
President Schicker?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Onstott?
Madam President, there's no action to report out of closed session from last time.
Could you check your email notes? Because I think I have one on here that has some results from closed session that we haven't reported out yet, unless I'm missing a week. I think if you check your email notes from that night, because we haven't had a meeting, we weren't planning to have this meeting and report out until next time.
Okay, I'll check. I recall that there being directives, but then no action, no vote was taken by the board, but I'll check.
There's a specific action about Richard LeGros, and I don't want to report it without the correct voting that we took. We took a vote on Mr. LeGros and the committee. So I'll wait for Mr. Onstott to get that together and answer Mr. Margetson's question on that. I would help. Mr. Dugan, would you like to speak?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. CDO hearings. The attorney for the LOCSD, was very weak. His presentation, I believe, did not enhance anybody's case or the defense. I think it was a waste of time and money. I didn't hear anything that really advanced any information forward that would help the community at large, and specifically the recipients, so the CDOs, or the people who took the deal, I guess you would want to call it, the settlement. That was a waste of time and money. Mr. Seitz, he's the man for dealing with the regional board. I don't think from now on that you should ever use anybody else but him, if it's possible. Bankruptcy. This question is about dissolving. You need to hold on as long as you can. Cut corners where you can, because without protection, this ends up in the county's hands. It's going to cost us more money in the long run, because they're not going to fight for this community. And so in the bankruptcy protection, you can deal with these creditors and get pennies on the dollar compared to what the county's going to turn around and put on us. That's all. Thanks.
Thanks. Mr. Dugan, anyone else like to speak? Closing. Good evening and welcome to the close of the open session of the Los Osos CSD special meeting tonight on December 28th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Here.
Here.
Director Susenya?
Here.
Director Sennett? President Schicker?
Here. Director Sennett is ill and he regrets that he has to leave early tonight. He did attend closed session. All right. Could we have a report out of closed session, Mr. Onstott?
Yes, Madam President. There's nothing to report from the closed session held on December 14th, 2006, and nothing to report from tonight's closed session.
Okay, and then Mr. Michelson was going to have a short report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it on now? Can you hear me all right? I've been asked to report on three separate items. The first one, and I think of major concern to those folks who are here, I think I've been in three or four meetings, and this is the largest turnout. Obviously, the public is concerned about why the district would call for an emergency meeting to discuss dissolution of the district. First, I need to say that obviously, this board was elected to preserve this district, to put together a wastewater plan that served the interests of the community and wastewater project. There are assets that are dedicated to water. There are assets that are dedicated to fire. There are assets that are dedicated to these miscellaneous services. And then there are wastewater-related assets. There are revenues. There are dedicated revenues that take care of the water services.
Sir, could you pull your microphone closer?
Surely. That take care of the water services, take care of the fire services, and the miscellaneous services. Obviously, at this point, there is no revenue stream with respect to the wastewater project. The district continues to receive this income stream with respect to those non-wastewater-related services and to provide those services and can do so into the future. That is not the problem. The problem is the wastewater-related assets and the wastewater-related liabilities. I think most of you know the district is involved in much litigation, almost all of it revolving around the wastewater project, and that the claims against the district are monumental, ranging in the neighborhood of $40 million. Almost 98-99% of it arises out of the wastewater project. The district, well, in terms of the Chapter 9, what assets of this district are available to the creditors of the district? The creditors do not have access to the water assets or the stream of revenue for the water services. They don't have access to our fire assets or the revenue stream that is generated to provide those services or those miscellaneous services that I talked about. Creditors can't get those in a Chapter 9. Okay? On the other hand, we do have wastewater-related assets. Specifically, we have the real property, which is the Tri-W in Broderson, and we have $2.1 million remaining from the initial loan proceeds from the State Revolving Fund. Those are our assets as against these roughly $40 million in claims. And by the way, I'm not acknowledging that those are all legitimate claims. Those are claims. I'll say no more about it at this point, but they're out there and they have to be dealt with. So now comes AB 2701, which is to undertake the wastewater project in Los Osos to turn over, and I said arguably, I want to underline that word arguably, because we're not conceding anything, but at least arguably, the county could require, if it passed a resolution, for the district to turn over to the county the real property assets, Tri-W and Broderson, and the remaining $2.1 million in SRF loan proceeds. Frankly, up to this point and at the time that we called the special meeting, we were receiving mixed messages from the county about what its intentions were with respect to those assets. And it was my concern that if the county did pass a resolution and did in fact demand a turnover of the assets, and if in fact we were required to turn over the assets, that the district would be left without the wherewithal to propose in the Chapter 9 case a plan of debt adjustment. Because remember, I said all of those, the water assets and the fire assets and all those, they're over here. So what we have to work with are the wastewater assets, and if the county elected and succeeded in taking those assets and left us with the $40 million, we would be in a position, frankly, of not being able to propose a plan of debt adjustment that the court would confirm. Ergo, the bankruptcy would serve no further purpose, the bankruptcy would be dismissed, and the problem then is, again, if the county, if they chose to do this, and they haven't done it up to now, of course it's not January 1st, and we'll talk about that, we would be left with the debts and no assets. And at that point, the district would be in jeopardy. And that's the reason why the district, even though it's desirous to stay in business, it needs to consider what would happen in that eventuality. And that was the reason that this meeting was called tonight. So, I am pleased to report, most pleased to report, that I believe a window of opportunity has been opened with the county, and that the county is interested in working with the district to put together a plan of debt adjustment that the court in the short term. And again, I think the I don't have anything specific to report tonight, but I do feel somewhat hopeful that the county is open to something that is workable. So that's the reason for the meeting. Madam Chairman, can I take questions now on that issue, or should I go through the others, separate them out?
Just go through all. We're just going to have one public comment tonight.
So. All right. Fair enough. The board is concerned about the composition of the creditors committee. Specifically, the creditors committee is appointed, by the way, in the Chapter 9 case by the Office of the United States Trustee and to represent the interests of the unsecured creditors of the Chapter 9 estate. It's very common in reorganization cases to have one or more committees. But the members of the committee must represent the interests of their constituency, here being the general unsecured creditors. This board is very concerned that one of the members appointed to the committee does not, in fact, represent the interests of the unsecured creditors, and that is Taxpayers Watch. Mr. LeGros is the representative of Taxpayers Watch on the committee. And we believe that because Taxpayers Watch, in the first instance, does not have a claim against this estate, and number two, because Taxpayers Watch has taken in the past actions which are inconsistent, even with the existence of this district, that Taxpayers Watch ought not to be on the committee. And I have been instructed by the board to file a motion with the court to have Mr. LeGros removed as a member of the committee, and I will do that shortly.
Please, we agreed, hands only. Thank you.
And then, lastly, a couple of things have happened in the bankruptcy court that I want to report on. First, the county was concerned that the board would dispose of, or the district would dispose of, the Tri-W and Broderson properties, and brought a motion in the bankruptcy court, emergency motion, to restrain the motion on the grounds that it did not have the power under Chapter 9 to force us to restrain us from selling those properties. On the other hand, the court said, I'm confused by 2701, and there is an internal inconsistency in 2701 with respect to the real property assets. One place it says you turn over real property, the other place, another place in the statute, it's silence. And she said at that time that she would, that the judge is a she, by the way, would defer to the state court to determine whether or not the intent of 2701, and that matter has been put over by agreement with the county as to whether or not the bankruptcy judge is going to defer to the state court. That's been put over till February 23rd. Hopefully by that time we'll have an agreement with the county and there'll be no further need to pursue that matter. The other thing that happened was that prior to the commencement of the Chapter 9 case, the two contractors who have very large claims against the district arising out of contracts that were entered into to build the wastewater project went to the Superior Court here in San Luis Obispo County and sought a preliminary injunction to prevent the district from spending any of the remaining SRF proceeds. And in fact, the Superior Court did issue a preliminary injunction a number of months ago at tying up the SRF money. It's about $2.1 million. The district, I, on behalf of the district, filed a motion to vacate that preliminary injunction on the basis that these contractors had no claim to those funds and that those funds were general funds of this available to this district. And we had a hearing on the 15th of December, and the judge ruled in our favor, vacated the preliminary injunction. I might also say that in connection with that matter, the county, the state of California, and there's one other party, weighed in on it, also claiming the right to those funds, and the judge determined that those funds belong to this district and that there are no creditors that have a specific interest in those. That's what we intend to do. So as we sit here tonight, I again use the word hopeful because I'm getting hopeful signs that, that something can be worked out and that all this talk of dissolution will just be academic in nature.
Thank you, Mr. Michelson. Mr. Onstar, Ms. Anna Jane Hugh, do you have any other things to add at this time? Just available for questions. Okay, Mr. Onstar.
Thank you, Madam President. As Mr. Michelson said, the board is hopeful that something could be worked out with the county. The board also convened this meeting tonight for the purpose of providing information to its constituents and to receive public input regarding the district's situation. The board has felt it prudent not to wait until January to have its options analyzed and to receive public input. We don't know what the county is going to do, but rather than wait until something happens, the board wanted to be proactive and discuss with Mr. Michelson the impacts on the bankruptcy, and with our firm, asked us to look into the procedure and the options the board has to wind up the operations of the Community Services District if that is, in fact, the direction it chooses to go. So in looking at it, we note that the district is a creature of state law, and this board, should it find it necessary, has the authority to do some or all of the following. One is to formally declare the district insolvent. Two is to curtail or cease operations. Three is to pay and terminate employees. Four is to pay and terminate consultants and other professionals that are on contract with the district. Five is to transfer and assign any interest in land or other assets that the district may have. Six is to vote to consent to dissolution by LAFCO, which is the Local Agency Formation Committee. And district board members have the option of resigning if they so choose. It's important to note that the district cannot dissolve on its own. Hence, those requirements are detrimental to the public interest. So the way this would work, if, heaven forbid, this should come to pass, is that the district board would vote to agree or to consent to dissolution by LAFCO. That issue would then go to LAFCO, and they can act on it immediately in its own time or not at all. If that was accompanied by resignations of directors, if less than a majority of directors resigned, the remaining directors can appoint the vacancies, or they can call for an election. If a majority of directors resign, then the County Board of Supervisors has the option of either filling the vacancies by appointment or by calling an election to fill those vacancies. So to clear up any misconceptions that the district can voluntarily lock the door, turn out the lights, and turn the keys over to somebody, that is not the case. However, it does eventually become the county's problem because services, community services are at stake, public health and safety is at stake, and if dissolution is effectuated, the county would stand in the shoes of the district and inherit whatever assets and liabilities the district has. So the way this would play out is if the county took the assets, forced Mr. Michelson to dismiss the bankruptcy for lack of any debt plan for the creditors, The district would have the inability to continue, primarily because all the stays on the lawsuits would come off and not have the funds to continue. The question of dissolution may then go to LAFCO. LAFCO can decide what to do about it. If they do decide to dissolve the district, then the assets and liabilities are inherited by the county. That, somewhat oversimplified, but is the basic procedure, Madam President.
Thank you. Any other comments from staff members? Okay. Any questions from the board at this time? Okay. What we'd like to do tonight is we have kind of three separate but related topics that you can comment or ask questions on, and our attorneys and staff will be available, our manager will be available to answer those questions or dissolution. There's kind of three separate but related topics that were reported on. So you each have 3 minutes. Please come up, and we'll start. Mr. Tkach.
James Tkach, Los Osos. A couple short questions. With regard to the issue with Taxpayers Watch, irregardless of any individuals, as a concept, how can Taxpayers Watch in front of LAFCO claim that they're just a loosely organized email group and not a real entity and therefore can't afford to pay their bill to LAFCO, but then be recognized as a cohesive entity to the point where they have a member appointed at the table of creditors? That seems like an inconsistency to me, and I wonder if the criteria that allowed them to be at the table as a creditor, shouldn't that also apply as a debtor to LAFCO? So that's my question there. The fact that they don't have a claim against the district makes me nervous because they may run out and file one so they can get at the table. And then with regard to the $2 million that the county's trying to take, would it be advantageous at this time for individual citizens to contact anybody at the county, maybe the Board of Supervisors, and explain our opposition or support of that, and if so, who? Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Michelson or Mr. Onstott?
Are we on? Excellent question with regard to Taxpayers Watch. I didn't know that history, and I will I'll look into that. That may be another grounds for their lack of qualification to be on the committee. With regard to the county, you said the county is attempting to take the 2.1. I want to correct you on that. The county has no power to do that until January 1st, and we have reason to believe that during this period of negotiations that they will not do that. So, I think at this point, I think the county understands its position. We certainly understand ours, and I think there is a basis for agreement here, and I don't know that the input obviously you can do what you want, but I think people kind of understand what's going on. There was a second question, I'm sorry, and I think everybody's under intense pressure in this matter, and everybody, I think, parties are starting to understand their respective interests and goals, and I think within that framework we can work out a settlement. I'm hopeful.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Taylor.
George Taylor, Los Osos. I want to commend the majority of this board for what they are doing for this community. You are showing us exactly what we wanted you to show, and that is some solidarity and some commitment, because this, you are our link of representative government. We fought for a CSD, we fought for recall, we fought for everything that you stand for. Now we are expecting you to fight for us, and apparently you're showing some fight. And I appreciate that. And I know that I speak for a lot of people out there, because a lot of people have told me that they come up to me and say, hey, you're saying exactly what I want to say. And so I feel responsible that I can say things like that. And I want to commend Mr. Michelson and Mr. Onstott for showing exactly what can be done when we get our shoulder to the wheel. Now, it sounds a little little droll, a little mundane, but I think that that's exactly what we have to show. We have to all stand up together, and we are there. We're trying to back you up, and so don't give up on us, because we haven't given up on you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Mr. Bearden?
Don Bearden, Los Osos. For over a year now, your board has made one bad decision after another. You were told at every turning point what the results of your actions would be, and yet you forged ahead towards fines, lawsuits, bankruptcy, and financial ruin. For your final act of stupidity, you want to dissolve the CSD and prevent the citizens of Los Osos having any further say in the bankruptcy proceedings. I think a far better solution would be for you to resign from office and let someone else take over. Mr. Onsat said you could do that. There are many people that would be glad to replace you and take over the bankruptcy fight. I urge you, Lisa Schicker, to resign.
Hello. My name is Betty Field Haley, and I've lived here about 12 years, since 1995. And the Green Dragon has not been here for a while, but he's been bugging me, and so tonight he wanted to give his say. So we shall see what he has to say. There's a green dragon who turns sort of red-orange, and then first he's purple, and then he becomes orange, and then he becomes yellow. And so you'll see the difference between what happens to the green sewer dragon. Oh, once there was a green sewer dragon who decided no more to roam. He decided to retire, which meant he had to find a home. So he slithered to the left and he slithered to the right. And then he landed right inside the bay, Los Osos Bay. And then he realized that he had found a home. He needed to climb the hill right up behind Sweet Springs. And he became more and more sort of, he got to the end of Los Osos Valley Road, a perfect place where this sewer dragon could be a centered sewer dragon near the center of town in the Tri-W site. And then he could become a community sewer dragon because he was right next to the community center. He could be a smart sewer dragon right next to the library. And he could become just an extraordinary sewer dragon. But then the sewer dragon realized that there was community objection. And so he all of a sudden became redder and red. And bankrupt, he was an orange sewer dragon. He was totally a bankrupt sewer dragon. What on earth does a bankrupt sewer dragon do? He was humiliated. He couldn't move. Everyone hated him. And then, all of a sudden, the sewer dragon shook himself, became a courageous yellow sewer dragon. He had courage behind him. And with that, he became.
Chris Albee, CEO number 19. I'd like to know, after the first here, one question being, if the county does not take over the CSD, where does that leave the CDOs? And alternately, if they do take it over, are we under the jurisdiction of the county, the regional board, or the CSD? And when the whole community gets their CDOs, how does that work out? Will all that be administered by you guys or the county? And how would the county do that?
Mr. Onstott?
With regards to the pending CDO proceedings, Those proceedings are the Regional Water Quality Control Board versus the individual property owners. Now, the CSD does have septic systems, but it is not in the first wave of 45 or so potential CDO recipients. If the county takes over, I think the question was, will that affect the CDO proceedings? The answer to that would be no, because the county would stand in the shoes of the district, and because the district is not a party, at least to the current CDO proceedings, it wouldn't affect those. If the Water Board got around to issuing CDOs against district-owned and operated septic systems, then the county would be a defendant in those proceedings.
Thank you. Director Tacker?
I'd just like to remind the public that the board and members of the public went before the Board of Supervisors and asked several times that the supervisors become interested parties, like the district did, the Los Osos CSD did become a designated party. We asked that the Board of Supervisors also become a designated party, and they chose not to. So I'm sorry, I don't think you would have much representation at that level.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Acilio. Welcome.
Ethan, Frank Cilio, Los Osos. I have a question. On the on July 27th, 06, Mr. Blakes, or Assemblyman Blakesley, wrote a letter with recommendation. Therefore, my assembly office will instruct legislative council to strike from the bill reference to a discretionary county authority to transfer LOCSD real property. That's one of my questions. Does that have anything? And the since I'm still on my clock, the other issue I have is that I know the question about dissolving, but I think that also the advocacy that this board can provide to have the, you know, if the regional water says, you know, and this has been a continuing problem for some of us, that the people in the prohibition zone are the ones that are causing problems to the lower aquifer. I would try to advocate that if they're saying that, when you have all the studies that demonstrate where the water is in this basin, who's adding to it or who's taking from it, but to, if the Water Board would do its job then to protect the full water basin, and if they can't do their job, then have somebody like the Attorney General's office see that they do follow the law and protect the full water basin, not to use an invisible line that goes straight down underground and stops all pollution to the water basin. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cilio.
Do you want me to respond?
Yes, Mr. Michelson.
Yes, I'm aware of that correspondence, and what I was alluding to before with respect to the inconsistency in the statute, the draft of the statute referred to transfer of fee interest, and if you look at the that draft through the process, the words fee interest, which is real estate, were struck out of that section of the statute, which was fine and consistent with Mr. Blakesley's letter and the position that this board took with respect to the county, and which gained the support of this board because it was the understanding of this board that the real property would not be in play and the county couldn't demand it. Unfortunately, there is another section of 2701 which does refer to the language is other real property assets. So it is confusing. What did the legislature intended? It's not what one individual representative, assemblyman, thought, or what the district thought, or what the county thought. The question is, what did the legislature intend? We think that all of these things may play into that, but hopefully we'll never have to actually come to that if we can reach an agreement with the county.
Yes, thank you. Okay, Mr.
A million eventually just get put right back into our what we're getting charged for a wastewater project. I don't know if we're getting out of the claim one way or another there, and that's just my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cribbs. Mr. Michelson?
The answer is I don't know.
Mr. Onstott?
since the county would be standing in the shoes of the district, in essence, if they wanted to impose any additional fees, assessments, et cetera, they don't get any shortcuts or any special treatment. They have to go through the normal procedures for those revenue-raising measures.
Could you explain what you mean by revenue-raising measures?
Right. If the county inherited $40 million of CSD debt, they would have to go through the normal procedures for bonding or assessments, or if eventually there's a treatment plant, proposed fees for services, things of that nature, 218 votes, the normal procedures that a government must follow if they want to impose fees or to raise revenues. So the mere fact that if the county inherits the district's debts, they don't get any special treatment. There's no special statute that I'm aware of. And they can't come back, for example, the next month and impose a special tax willy-nilly on all the property owners that are within Los Osos or some other type of summary expedient measure in an attempt to raise that $40 million.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Payne.
Good evening, Madam President, Board, staff, and members of the public. I want to thank the attorneys for their excellent descriptions. I was at home watching, and I felt you did a real good job of explaining where we're at and how the bankruptcy was going and some of that. There's questions that are raised to me. Number one, right off the top, I have a legal question. Is AB 2701 actually a constitutional law, or is there some question of whether it's constitutional to take our right to design what we're going to pay for away from us? That's one question. The other thing is this $40 million. This community would have to vote to assess themselves. Restraining order would only taken 20 days to stop it. We only had to recall one person. How could that be how could the state loan on such a shaky thing with no source of revenue to repay that loan? We really got that money given to us illegally. I don't see where they can ever collect it unless, like the county, Pavel Ogren says, well, we can consider that $6.6 million points when we go for a low interest loan now. I don't think anybody else in the state has to pay points for low interest loan. I had a bunch of other stuff to say too, but I wonder if you can address some of those questions. Thank you.
Mr. Payne, you still have about a minute left.
Pardon?
You have about a minute left.
Oh, okay. About a minute. One of the things I want to point out is the papers have a lot to say about our problem one way and the other. Nobody seems to think. We even have people from Davis getting letters published here in the Sun Bulletin this week. But the point that I wanted to make for sure is we need you to fight for us on this. I spent 3 minutes in at the county the other day after driving there to get there, where I used to walk through the back thing to waste my 3 minutes talking to the old board. And when it got done with requesting them not to hire CMC, they unanimously voted to hire him anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Mr. Michelson?
Yes, I'll respond to the question with respect to the constitutionality of 2701. The answer is, of course, we've considered that. We hope that we'll never have to cross that bridge, that if we can work things out with the county, obviously we won't have to. If we don't work things out with the county and the county passes a resolution to take over the project and makes demand on the district, that is an issue that the district will have to wrestle with.
Mr. Unstott?
We've also looked at the constitutionality and other potential flaws in 2701 and not really at liberty to comment upon those now, and hopefully we'll never have to. So I agree with Mr. Michelson. I think the other questions focused on the SRF loan and its legality. I can say this. In about 2 months before the recall election, I think it was in September. Legality of the loan is a very broad issue, and it's one that's being litigated, although part of that litigation is currently stayed by the bankruptcy. But it's important to know that, one, that loan is not secured by real property. It's secured by revenue streams if and when any treatment plant is up and running. That was brought up at the most recent bankruptcy hearing, where the judge basically asked the state, the attorney general, right in the eye, looked them right in the eye and said, have you perfected a security interest? And he said, I don't know, which means no. So that's just one issue that I can comment upon. But as to the overall legality of the loan, that's the rest of those issues are currently in litigation, even though some of it stayed.
Thank you, Mr. Onstad. Ms. Kelly?
Maria Kelly, Los Osos, board staff. First, I'd like to say thank you to the attorneys for your clarification, and especially Mr. Michelson for your sense of hopefulness. I think that we needed that. A clarification on the $40 million, is that just accrued debt to unsecured parties, or is that including our fines, which is one question? And then I just want to make a statement to the board. I'm not overly supportive of dissolution. I always have concerns over losing local governance. But I do trust Joe, and I do trust that he is involved in the conversation and that he has eyes and ears in this matter. So I do support whatever discussion is happening. Question for Mr. Onstad. You just made a comment that you wrote a letter to the state regarding the SRF loan prior to the recall. Who were you representing at that time that you were writing a letter commenting on our loan, or were you just an interested for personal interests? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Mr. Michelson?
I'll address the $40 million and leave the other one. I say roughly $40 million. At this point, it could be $45 million. But it does include the contractor claims, miscellaneous unsecured debt that just got caught up in the filing. It does include the state fine and does include the $6 million SRF initial distribution.
Thank you. Mr. Onstad?
Y'all remember Case and CCLO? They were my clients back before the recall election, and at that time my...
Mr. Tarnowski?
Lou Tornatsky, Los Osos. I'm frankly indifferent, and I don't have a strong opinion about self-dissolution. There is a major question that I don't think was addressed by the board or by the attorneys, and I want to put it in the context of the meeting we had a couple weeks ago at the middle school, where Pavo and his staff, I thought, put together an amazing demonstration of competence. There's more competence in the air for those two or three hours of that meeting than I've seen in the whole year and a half that I've sat in on these meetings. I believe they will pull it off if we give them a chance and don't get again in their face. This board has done nothing but get in everybody's face. I want a system built. I want a system directed and led by competent people, not this board, not the self-appointed sewer experts in this room. And I want to know, what will dissolution do to the good work that's already been undertaken by county staff? Is this going to enable their work, or is it going to again be another roadblock, another negative set of events, another lawyers getting on somebody's case? And that's why you hire lawyers. They will defend you. They will be your advocate. I'm not sure that what's going on here or what has gone on with lawyers over the last year and a half has done anything for our interests in our property, in our future. So I guess I'd like to know from somebody, and I don't care where it's you up there or you over here, what will this do about the county taking over in a sane, competent manner the project that they're going to pull together? Whether it's step stag or whatever. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Donsky. Again, we're doing hands instead of applause. Mr. Michelson or Mr. Onstott, do you have any comments? Nope. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Cooper?
Bo Cooper, partner, have a cold. You guys haven't even begun to get in the bad guy's face. I know what Taranowski is talking about. When Mr. Michelson says, oh, it's unfortunate that the real property was only removed once rather than twice from the AB 2701, that's a load of crap. We fought really hard to amend it. We said, hey, look, take it out. We said, we don't love this one, but we can live with real live politics. And then the state board backed out and said, no, we're not going to accept our own negotiation. Was that unfortunate, or was it more than unfortunate? It was unfortunate when the 218 comes before the Technical Advisory Commission vote. At this point, I'm going to probably have to work against the 218 vote unless they come up with one definite project, with one definite place, with one definite price. Unfortunate doesn't begin to describe what's going on. It was unfortunate that LAFCO said, hey, yeah, we'll support 2701 without amendments. We'll write a letter to everybody and say we support everything. We have not been supported. It's time for us to support ourselves, which is what you guys are doing now. I'm really proud of you for doing that. You got a lot of flack from Taxpayers Watch and the people who have been trying to dissolve us, undermine us, bankrupt us, get Richard LeGros and things like that in charge of our lives. People are destroying, destroy us, and now in charge of our lives. That makes no sense at all. That's more than unfortunate. That's just terrible. So please stand up against the agencies, stand up against the people trying to hurt the people. You guys have been our hope and can be our hope, and I want you to stand really tall, really strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Ms. Cooper?
Let's see. Lacey Cooper. I just had a question. I guess it's for Mr. Onstott. I'm confused about... when he was talking about scenarios for dissolution, and then he said if people resign, then the county would appoint other directors. But I don't understand, if you're dissolving the district, you know, and you're paying people off and you're not able to function, why would you have new directors if the old directors resign? That didn't make sense to me. I saw that in a newspaper article. Also, Judy Rodewald weighed in at the end of the article in the Tribune saying the same thing, that if people resign, then the county would appoint new directors. Like I said, if it's a dissolved district, if it's an abandoned district that has no money, why would you have other directors? And that's my question. And just a brief comment. I was watching on TV the Board of Supervisors meeting on the 19th, and I just want a supervisor that, oh, you can just watch it on TV, you don't have to go there and make, you know, well, if you don't go there and make comments, it's not really representative democracy. And like letters in the paper, I don't consider it posturing to stand up and be involved in the community. And a previous speaker talked about, well, don't get in the face of the county, been in the face of everybody. Well, if being in people's face is trying to deliver a cost-effective, sustainable, and, you know, a good sewer project that won't bankrupt this town and make 5,000 to 6,000 people move, then I say stay in people's faces, if that's what being in people's faces means. I think it's a good thing. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Mr. Onstott.
The options that I outlined for the board are neither mutually exclusive nor do they all have to be taken together. For example, in your question, the board may vote to agree to dissolution and send that issue to LAFCO, which is the only entity that can dissolve the district. If the board or some of its members choose to resign as part of that process or as not part of that process, I went through the steps that would take place to replace those directors who resigned. But obviously, you have to have a district to have a board of directors.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Mr. Jones?
Good
Michael Jones, Los Osos. I remember when I first caught wind that our CSD was considering self-dissolution, I was on my way to breakfast and stopped by the newsstand to get a morning paper. When I saw this headline, Osos Board Brings Up Dissolution, I got down on the ground and started looking for marbles because I thought I'd lost mine. I understand that headlines grant the attention of a false wisdom. Headlines are designed to grab your attention so you'll drop down your four bits. It's with uncertainty and not until further review that you discover if it's facts and information you purchased or fish wrap. I also understand that when it comes to the Tribune, the false wisdom doesn't always stop at the headlines. Anyway, I read this article and the ensuing articles. I knocked a few emails around, spoke with friends in passing that know a lot more about what's going on around here than I do. But the thought, I don't get it, still lingers in my mind. I think I understand the intent of this action and resolution. It appears to be a shot across the county's bow, stating that they can't take power and control without taking the responsibility that goes with it. What I take from Mr. Onstadt's comment is that the dissolution ball still resides in LAFCO's court, and based on comments from Paul Hood, LAFCO has no interest whatsoever in pursuing, let alone approving, the dissolution of the Los Osos CSD. Some might look at this and think the CSD is playing hardball. Based on my knowledge of how this process works, to me it looks like a big fat air ball. To me, it appears that to be a knee-jerk posturing and such a veiled and empty, unrealistic, and meaningless threat, I don't believe it will give the county pause at all. To me, it looks like you're taking a knife to a gunfight. If and when LAFCO were to address dissolution again, the lethargic process and remote possibility of success, I believe, dilutes any intended threat. Director Tacker is quoted in the Bay News as saying, without $2.1 million of properties, we can never get out of bankruptcy. You can't have nothing to offer creditors. That won't fly. We might as well hand the keys and pink slip over to the county. Problem with this threat, Director Tacker, is if you guys want to box up your desk, turn the lights out, and hand the keys over, it's my understanding that the Board of Supervisors could respond by appointing new board members to the Los Osos CSD that want to play the game their way. So once again, your comments appear to be veiled but empty threats that have absolutely no teeth. What tools or weapons do you have at your disposal besides words expressing what you want? And I will close by saying, if Mr. Michelson wants to drop the bankruptcy, the county has an easy way out. It can hire Barnard Construction, Monterey Mechanical, and build Tri-W. If my perceptions are misguided, I'd appreciate enlightenment. Thank you.
Any comments from Mr. Michelson or Mr. Onstadt? Thank you, Mr.
Can I make one comment?
Oh, yes, Mr. Erks.
Mr. Jones, when you take a knife to a gunfight and the gunfighter doesn't have a bullet, you do have a distinct advantage.
Thank you, Mr. Sparks. Ms. Neller?
Sylvia Neller from Cuesta by the Sea. And boy, you know, that's a hard one to follow. So I just have some kind of notes and thoughts floating around. What if the county says that they won't handle the hot potato if we don't take away the threat of a dissolution? I think that Mr. LeGros is a definite conflict of interest to be serving on a committee. And I'm glad to hear that the council is hopeful. I have not had much good thought for the council that you've had since you've been in. Much trust. I understand about bad decisions and procrastination and fear and burnout and timeout and regrouping. And I don't know if any of you don't want anyone to continue as a board member if you don't want to. And you don't have to tell me why. Just say, I've changed my mind. Give us a chance to put somebody else in. But you've made mistakes. That tells me that you're ready now to do the job. You're the best ones. So, don't quit.
Thank you. Mr. Moylan?
Good evening, beloved board members. And I mean that to everybody. I'm personally not in favor of dissolution. However, if dissolution is actually the best solution for the community, I'm all for it, because I'm for the best thing for the community. This jacket is about 40 years old, about the same age as when the sewer project was first tendered. And it really doesn't look that good on me. I don't know if a sewer is going to look good in this town, but I do have a question. If you decide to dissolve and the county decides to appoint new board directors for the CSD, could they actually appoint people that were recalled in the past, like LeGros, Gustafson, and Hensley. That's a conundrum that I'm curious about, and maybe the lawyers can give me some advice on that.
Thank you, Mr. Moylan. Mr. Onstad?
If a majority of the board members resigned, the County Board of Supervisors can fill those vacancies by appointments of whoever they choose.
Even if it was recalled members?
Yeah, there's no law saying recalled members can't be appointed to the district board.
Thank you. Ms. Peterson?
Hi, my name is Tina Peterson. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I'm here to address the board and staff, and to agree with Lou. In all of the time that you've been on the board, every decision you've made was a grievous error. You've made big mistakes, a lot of them on purpose. Just because you didn't want the wastewater treatment facility there. First it was, we don't need a sewer. We don't need a sewer. Then it was, move it. I don't care how much it costs, we'll move it. Well, the Ripley report is over $200 million. That's more.
Decisions this board has made. One was to hire Anna Jane Hughes, general manager, interim general manager, and one was to hire Jay Michelson as our bankruptcy attorney. And I can assure you those are good decisions.
Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, Mr. Perlman.
This was my grandfather's Alon Perlman prohibition zone. I'm also a member of LOCAC. But in LOCAC, we keep away from sewer issues. I think Mr. Gibson also will keep a certain distance because he needs you, your leadership, before he, if you present the right firmness, the commitment to an integrated wastewater water system, the missing element from 2701, the one that actually was in its title at the first, then you can get through this. If you act to respond to elements of the community, which this can, our community will heal once a sewer goes in. It doesn't really matter where. That's basically where the healing. Some healing will never happen. There's no need to rush to a sewer for the sake of healing. It has to be done. So one of my grandfather's friends described him as being Solomonic in his wisdom, my grandfather. That's how my grandfather came across. I doubt I'll be able to do that. But Solomonic judgment means, for example, if you're familiar with the story of the baby, you have to make a choice. You know, there can't be two parents, two mothers to one baby. It's got to go here or there. And the strength of your conviction, in other words, trust the truth, the strength of your conviction is what will carry this thing through. So no, you don't have my permission to dissolve. If you try and cut the baby, you'll end up with baby guts all over the place. You know, bringing it around to Christmas, I could see a situation where everybody, where the kids came down and some of them had yellow pajamas and some of them green pajamas, and the yellow pajamas opened their gifts and lo and behold, it was a sewer in Tri-W. And the green pajamas, they opened their gifts and it was a sewer out of town and much cheaper. We just found out that one of our alternatives is permitted, so let's go with that one, kind of bait and switch. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman. Who else would like to speak this evening? Anybody else? We're talking about the three topics, the bankruptcy committee, the results of the bankruptcy hearings, and effects of dissolution 2701 and bankruptcy. Mr. Dugan?
Dave Dugan, Los Osos. I believe there was a court hearing where two witnesses for Taxpayer Watch said that they were a loose-knit organization without president or vice president, and they do not represent the constituency of the Los Osos, basically. And I do think you guys remember that date. You probably want to talk to your lawyer about that. I'm also going to talk about Bruce Gibson, since his name's... Do contact our supervisor for our district as soon as possible. Your opposition is doing that now and before, and they'll continue to do it. Don't wait. You delay, you will pay. Okay, concerning effects of the dissolution, I believe this is Government Code Division 3. The Cortez-Knox-Hexburg Local Government Reorganization Act of 2000, Chapter 6, Effects of Dissolution. This should be required reading for everybody involved in trying to dissolve the district or prevent it. And this will tell you exactly what the successor agency can and cannot do with the district's assets, including real properties and money. I would tell you right now, you try to dissolve the district, it will not hurt the county. They will turn around, and all of the debt will remain in the district, in Los Osos. This is the way it reads. I have 8 pages of it. I've studied it several times, and this will not hurt the county whatsoever. Their general fund or any of the other projects, it will come back on the district, and we will not have the bankruptcy protection or the ability to deal with the debtor, the creditors, for pennies on the dollar in any settlement that will be provided by the bankruptcy protection. Don't think that the threat of dissolution bothers the county. This is like a one. Could even print this for people to see, if not one of our other regs that we have here. And don't think that the county is shaking in their boots over this. They are not. And Bruce Gibson wants to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments? Clarifications on the... Okay. Would anyone else like to speak? I think there's more people in the audience that might like to speak, but if they don't, I can close public comment at this time. Okay, Ms. Albright?
Joyce Albright, Los Osos. This board is to be representative of all the people, not just those who do not want a sewer. This effort has led us to the brink of bankruptcy. From past comments of Paul Hood, LAFCO will undoubtedly disapprove again dissolution because of the $40 million debt the county does not wish it to assume. A better option might be Dodd Bearden's suggestion that the 4 members step down and let election runners-up take over the CSD, or the county will step in and appoint your replacements. At any rate, I'm sure you would receive a lot more respect from the community if you would apologize for this mess and admit responsibility for your actions rather than continue to blame others. The Regional Water Quality Board's desire that we pump every 3 years and certify this septic tank's work is reasonable, and I certainly don't understand why everybody's complaining about them. Yes, Pavel Ogren and staff gave a thorough and competent presentation of their plan. I trust him implicitly. The 218 vote will be based on an assessment amount, not on which project. If it passes, an advisory vote will be sought from registered voters on our choice of project, and the supervisors will then decide which to build. If the assessment vote fails, the county will back out of the project undoubtedly, which may well lead to the state moving in and building what it wants with ever-continuing cost escalation. So, shall we support the county's effort or continue to obstruct the process? Let's resolve as a community to cooperate with hope and faith toward a brighter future. We can do it if we all work together. 30 years is long enough. Will litigation continue, and how will you pay these ongoing fees if you continue to
root for their home team and against the other team? But we are one community. This is not a sporting event. So let's respect each other's opinions. And I do take responsibility for the actions that we have taken this past year. Not all of them have worked out right. But I still feel good about stopping the previous project.
I think it was the right thing to do. I mentioned that to a member of the water board after the hearing on December 15th. He looked me straight in the eye and he said, you're darn right it was. I'd have done the same thing.
That's true. Okay, Mr. Weimer.
Keith Weimer. I'm in the prohibition zone. And if I heard right, the $40 million that's a liability will end up going to the taxpayers in Los Osos, but that could be clarified. I'm wondering if you mentioned, Mr. Onstott, that it would be the county would, if it went to the county, they would still have to have a 218 process and so on. But I'm wondering if they could actually roll it into the cost of a new project and make it part of that 218 vote. But any way you look at it, Los Osos seems to be set to end up with that debt unless we continue those lawsuits and win those lawsuits, from what I'm hearing. So to me, it's really a matter of those lawsuits having to be in place and us having to, you know, to defend or to pursue them actively. And on that note, I am curious why Taxpayers Watch is so interested in trying to deplete the funding that's necessary for this CSD to go forward on those. It really is an obligation by this board to defend the citizens of Los Osos by fighting those lawsuits. And I really would ask Taxpayers Watch to back off. At one point, they may have had a point that they could save taxpayers in Los Osos some money. At this point, they're just going to cost us. And obviously, they can cost us the $40 million. A couple of people pointed out that that they're concerned that this process, I mean, the idea of dissolution is going to somehow interfere with the 2701 process. Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think the county is aware that it has to work with us, and this just reminds them of that. And
and we've talked about this roughly $40 million that's outstanding, and I think I said in my opening remarks that we're not conceding that those are good claims. They are claims, several of them subject to litigation. This district does not have the resources to complete all the litigation that is out there. That would probably exhaust the money that might be available for creditors. But the Chapter 9 is designed to allow a municipality to adjust its debts consistent with the district's best efforts. So whatever the court finds to be the district's best efforts, that is what the court would then confirm a plan of debt adjustment. If the best efforts is $5 million, it's $5 million. If it's $2 million, it's $2 million. Whatever it is, if that's the best the district can do, that's it. And to the extent that the claims ultimately exceed the district's best effort, those are discharged and eliminated. So the Chapter 9 is an attempt to manage a group of claims that are above the district's ability to pay.
Thank you, Mr. Michelson. Ms. Moylan?
Good evening, board, staff, members of the public. I'm Bev DeWitt Moylan, and I'm from New England, so I guess you know how I feel about local government. And I am very much concerned about the idea of dissolution. When I saw that article, I felt the same as a lot of other people. We worked really hard for this, and it would be hard for me to see it go. On the other hand, whatever is best for this community is I think, what all of us want. On a slightly different topic, I want to mention that I am CGO 1041, and that I want to make sure that people in this town who are watching this on TV and who are here in this room understand, if they have not read the CDO, what the implications are. And it is not that we are fighting against pumping every 3 years. If that's all we had to do, I wouldn't be fighting. I wouldn't be doing what I do and have been doing for this entire year, going to one meeting after another and writing interminable paperwork to the water board. What it means is that if the water board determines that on, so I just want to make sure that this community understands that they need to get involved, they need to start communicating with each other and finding out what this all means. Because this is 5,000 of us in the prohibition zone who will create a desolate place. There won't be anything there. It will be a ghost town. But of course, maybe there will be others who will come in who have the money to buy our property and put in whatever is wanted by whoever wants it. But for right now, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit tired, and so I'm a little bit cynical right now. But I really hate it when people misconstrue or misrepresent what it is we're dealing with here. So please understand it. Please make an effort to understand it. It will make a big difference to your life. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moylan. Okay, Ms. McPherson.
Well, you've got three things on that you've been talking about, and we've been working for the last year on one little chicken fight over here and another diversion over there. And I want to tell you that it's a huge fight with the CDOs and the enforcement, and it's not about whether to pump or not. We all know that. We know it's about keeping your eye on the ball, and I've been talking about that the last couple of times I've been up here. Connect the dots. You start out with a really bad project, and you get a bad bid, and then you get an extra 90 days beyond the election. Read the records. 90 days beyond the election to rebid and do something else. But do this, does the board do it? No, they don't. In your face is taking over by self-appointed sewer experts back in 1998 to build something that they were completely incapable of building. Watch the old tapes if you want to see in some incompetent people. And they're just human. I agree that the county is in great shape to do a great job, but they can't do it if they're going to do the bidding of the state. The dot I'm telling you to connect is the state revolving fund loan. The district stopped the project after the election. They came up with another project that was acceptable, and they even accepted a compromise. But Blakeslee was blindsided, and so was this board. And it's been happening again in 2701. Unfortunately, it's all about that lawsuit. Because the only one that really benefits from a dissolution of this district, and they've been backing Taxpayers Watch and others to dissolve this district. The dissolution of this district is more about the state than the county or you or me or anyone else. The state benefits. I want to see that lawsuit fulfilled, that litigation completed. And if you need to negotiate your way out of it in order to come up with a good project that they don't rape you over. And I'm saying $6 million in fines is exactly the amount that we owe them, $6 million in debt. Isn't that strange? I really urge you, because I don't have the time to do it here, but connect the dots between every action. In your face is going in and filing lawsuits the week after the recall election. It is also finding us out of existence a week after the election. Please, work hard to connect the dots. I'll help you. I have the records. Thanks.
Thank you. Any comments? Okay. Ms. Fredericks.
Good evening, Sharon Frederick, Los Osos.
Shh. Try that again. Oh, oops. Try green. Could you get it? It's not reset yet. Oh, it's messing around. Okay.
Is it ready?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm very excited that the county is taking over the project. I actually saw Sam Blakeslee last night, and I had initially been very upset with his bill. I thought he was actually meeting with people that were incompetent, but he did the right thing, and the county will now be taking over the project. We're very, very fortunate to have such competent people. Pablo is quite an intelligent man. I look forward to us working with him, and I think we're going to have a fantastic project. It's hard to get up and sort of disagree with a lot of what people say. So just to, if you look back on your agenda, there's two lawsuits that Taxpayers Watch filed, and one was on Measure B, and Measure B, you know, as you know, Joe Sparks opposed that Measure B. That was lost twice in Superior Court, and that was again appealed by four of the board members, not Joe Sparks. So that's the money that has been wasted again. A lawsuit was filed against four board members that have wasted a lot of our money. Measure B is a very good example of dealings in the community. I don't want to waste a lot of time actually even talking about it. I don't think that's going to necessarily happen. The issue at hand is the sewer. That's what we all want. That's what we're all concerned about. When I hear we're all going to get CDOs eventually if this continues, and my kid will be 6 years old if we wait till 2011 not to have a sewer. So my hope is that we will have that sewer built and we will move on with our life. Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Would anyone else like to speak this evening? Okay, Mr. Shaw.
Good evening, board and staff and fellow citizens. Me personally, I have confidence in all five of you. I think Joe getting elected was a good thing. He's got a lot of good intelligence, a lot of experience, and he's bringing in new energy. So I do hope that you can all continue. I think the community has supported you. They supported you in the recall. They supported you in the reelection. And I think they will continue to support you in the struggle. I'm sure it is a struggle, especially the burden that's on your shoulders. So please continue. I would love to see these lawsuits resolved. I'd like to see justice brought. I'd like to see more facts. I know that's going to take time. I think justice will be served. I'd also like to reiterate how I do not have a CDO. I am in the prohibition zone. I've been going to some of the hearings and trying to stay abreast of that. And I would really encourage the rest of the community to do that. Some previous speakers have suggested that, and that is going to be critical, that we come together as a community and as much as possible paddle in the same direction there. And finally, there's a lot of talk about, you know, getting in people's face. I think all camps, different people have been doing that. I think as much as possible that we can respect each other, respect the CSD, respect the county, the further we're going to get. I think when the emotions get stirred up, it really slows down the progress. If people stick to the facts and address each other respectfully, and let's move forward and try to get something accomplished. Thank you.
An affordable step collection system that was going to be $38 a month. And what's more, it would have complied with the state regional board's requirements for stopping discharge. They didn't mandate that we build a $200 million sewer. They mandated that we stop discharging effluent because it's impacting the groundwater. And I was all for that, and I still am. I spoke with Dana Ripley today. Dana Ripley said, remind everybody that the energy budget on the previous project is off the map. Polar bears are now listed on the threatened species because our climate's warming up. Why on earth would we deliberately build a project that would further that? We have a project here about $7,000 or about $75 a month that Orenco would come in with their money, not our money, but their money, and solve the situation. That would solve almost all the problems that we have here. We would be complying with the water board, the CDOs would go away, and we could get on with our lives. If the county goes forward, as they seem to be, with the conventional project, they'll be looking at $350 a month or $37,000. So I think Pavel Ogren made it very clear at the last meeting to me and a group of people after the meeting that affordability was going to be very difficult for them to achieve. If you wanted to unite the community, you wanted to unite them with a compliance project that's affordable for everyone. That way you're assured to get it to an 18 void. And a few things about myths around here. The county hasn't taken the project. They've only agreed to study alternatives. They have not taken the project, and they stated they will not take the project until it's a successful 218 vote. So that's a myth. There's some other myths. The regional board does not permit certain projects. They give you a discharge permit. You choose the project. I wanted to make those things clear and wish you all a happy new year.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Golden.
I keep coming to these things and hopeful that the community would try to put itself together. It would be a good thing if we have a person who runs the election in this county who made sure that the days before the election, including the weekend, it was available for people who couldn't get to the polls to come and vote absentee by going down to the county offices in San Luis. And there's no 18,000 votes hidden in these elections. And I'm talking now about the recall, about the vote on the that the court didn't care for as far as the proposition. None of us voters voted for it. And that's part of our process too. People pass things and the courts decide that it has a constitutional failing and it doesn't go forward. But as far as the vote is concerned, that's what the voters of this community voted. They voted for these people here. Now, somebody ought to get real about that instead of standing here and criticizing, because you're going to start making lists of criticism. This is going to go on ad nauseum. I just would like to conclude by hoping that everyone in the new year would think about possibly trying to remember what learned counsel said when he first came to a meeting about what the purpose of bankruptcy is. He repeated it again today. It is possible that this community, which is 40, 45, or whatever the number is, may get out of this whole thing for a hell of a lot less. It is probable that's going to happen. And that would be to everyone in this room's advantage and to everyone who's watching if they haven't fallen asleep already. Anyway, it's really time to stop. And I hope everyone will think about that in the new year. It's fine to criticize, and one should always keep one eye on what's going on. I believe in that fervently. But to keep tearing things down all the time is not productive.
Thank you, Mr. Golden. Who else would like to? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. My name is Al Downs. I'm a local citizen here. I hope everyone from San Diego to Eureka, what was established was, it was our local government's right to make site choice. And that was established when Roger Briggs, the water board, at the meeting in San Luis Obispo admitted it, that the SRLF loan was not, a site selection was not a requirement to get that loan. He admitted it right in front of everybody. So, with what's established as our board's government, our local government's board's right of site choice, it's still our right. So when the meeting comes between our board and the supervisors meeting and the assemblymen meet, I hope that's one thing that's brought in to the fore of that meeting is that was our right to make site choice. So there's some other important things to say, but I want to establish that, and I hope everybody in California realizes what's going on here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Swanson?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I want to make it clear, it was never about no sewer. I didn't walk door to door having people come and attend and be photographed to move the sewer. I didn't walk door to door to get Julie and Lisa elected. It was to move the sewer, not to no sewer. I walked the door to door for the recall to move the sewer. But for some reason, those efforts were ignored. And I have to say what Leon said, is that we voted over and over and over again to move the sewer, and that's what you guys got elected to do. But somehow, there seems to be some lapse of memory of how we got here. And that's the old board starting the project. The evidence is there. It's a fact. We would have had so many other options than what we're faced today. And dissolution is certainly, that's what they want. Is that what they're going to get? No. So I wish that the press, since they're here, that they get it right and get a breakdown of actually how that works out. The fines are being litigated. They aren't against us. They are not a liability. The contracts with the contractors, those are still in litigation and are stayed. And they're going to be negotiated. I mean, it's all a benefit if we all work together to figure this out. And what really irks me is that now Taxpayer Watch is on a campaign to ask for the refund of their assessments. How counterproductive is that towards a project? If you get your money back, one, where is it coming from? And two, is then you'll be assessed again at a higher rate and for more money. Because it will be an inequity if you're not assessed and I am. So it makes absolutely zero sense to proceed. And I would say that trust but verify hasn't worked for you. It's antitrust and verify.
Thank you. Mr. Markinson?
Richard Margetson. I want to agree with what Keith said, and especially agree with my friend Leon Golden. I think he nailed it right on the head. And in that vein, having a district, having that right to vote, and having input from these people on both sides. Think of some of the things that it's got this community. We now have had input on changing our water rate structure from a water wasting structure to a water conserving structure. We, as a community, voted down the first fire tax, voted in a lower fire tax, and then our voices as a community asked the board and informed the board and convinced the board that we also wanted a higher level of service and that we could get that higher level of service for the input process that has led to decisions that the board has, you know, adopted. We've also had the option of coming to the board on a minor thing, trash rates. Every other community takes the franchise fee and has their rates increased. 2 years in a row, the community has convinced the board to not take the full franchise fee and instead lower the trash, or keep, not lower, keep our trash rates where they were. Take a lower franchise fee. That didn't hurt the district. It helped the consumer. you cannot dissolve this district. There cannot be no more talk about it. You have to make that clear tonight. I understand the county needs to back off and, you know, allow us to do our business and continue to do our business and have our input at the county level, but I also want you fighting for us. That's what you were elected to do, and as long as you're in power and there's something wrong at the county level, I want you in their face. And if we had another 3 minutes, the county has not been perfect on every project the county has implemented in this county. And there's a, ask Oceano what they feel about some of the county projects. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak this evening? Anybody? Okay, I'm closing public comment and bringing it back to the board at this time. Thanks, everybody. It's most appreciated to hear from you. Would any of the board members like to ask any questions of staff or any comments? Would staff like to add any comments at this time? No? Any? Okay. Okay, Director Sasania?
It certainly is not my intent to resign or dissolve, but sometimes you have to consider options that you don't really want, and that's kind of what we're doing. But we were elected to fight, and we're going to fight for the community the best way that we know how for as long as we're here. And we've talked long and hard about trying to see each other's points of view and to leave the bitterness behind. And it's starting to sound like a broken record. And I'm hoping that with the new year that we can really honestly all start to believe that. It has to start with each of us one at a time. And probably the best way is just when you're tempted to bring it to the microphone, don't. And everyone survived the windstorm. I know there was a tree across from my house that didn't.
Thank you. Director Sparks?
Yeah, there were various comments tonight. You know, this meeting, you know, we have a responsibility as a board to consider, you know, every option, and we have to. And if dissolution were necessary for the maximum protection of the homeowners, it's something this board has that responsibility to consider. I think I wish people could have been there on December 15th in Santa Barbara at the bankruptcy hearing. I think it would be evident, it was evident to me, that the most, in my opinion, the most competent attorney that was in that courtroom was is sitting over at that table, Jay Michelson, looking out for the interests of the district. Chapter 9 bankruptcies, I believe, they were a result of the Depression, and there are so very few of them that are filed. It's less than 1,000, I think, that have ever been filed. And we have a very good attorney that's versed in that and knows the law and is using that for the protection of the homeowners. And, you know, it's my job as a board member to bring up and consider every option available. I think this discussion actually, you know, I'm going to allude to, you know, comments going back and forth about Taxpayers Watch and, you know, the comments about their filing for dissolution. And I think this discussion should be productive from our standpoint, from the county standpoint. It, in my view, it probably should have happened in the context it's occurring here prior to filing for bankruptcy as an option. Again, to protect the homeowners of the district. You know, I heard comments from Keith Swanson. You know, those comments go both ways. You know, members of Taxpayers Watch, I fully expect, are going to support a 218 vote that will help bring us into compliance, address our water quality issues, and for a sewer that we want to be economical. And the vehicle for that, by support of this board before I was on it, was AB 2701. And, you know, lots of things are in life are imperfect, but that is the vehicle we have to improve our water quality, and we want it to be affordable as possible. Nobody wants to pay more than they have to, not the county, not us, not the state. In the next couple of months, that we resolve through negotiations with the county for both their interests and our interests, the restructuring plan. It's vitally important. We have a new supervisor coming in, and I believe he's going to be supportive of this board. We want to be supportive of him. He has other constituents, but this is his greatest challenge, and it's our job to advocate for our constituents in this district to him and make that clear to him, and every board member here will be doing that. But it's important that everyone is in a cooperative mode to make this process work. I mean, if we look, you know, we always want everybody from their own standpoint wants everything they can. But if we look at it from over a year ago, we had a time schedule order that was basically 2004. That time schedule order has gone up 7 years, 2011. To suggest the Regional Water Board hasn't been cooperative or hasn't given us consideration, I just think is somewhat wrong. And it's come at a price in that we've delayed for reasons this town has stated, but we've delayed addressing water quality issues. It has come at a price. Will it be worth it? We all want it to be worth it. And so it's important going forward that we look to our hired experts, hired guns. Anna Jay is a CPA, fully qualified to give us the best financial information, to work with our bankruptcy attorney, Mr. Michelson, to help pull us out of this. And I'm looking forward to that process in the next couple of months and moving forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Director Sparks. Director Tecker.
I'm not interested in dissolving the district. I'm an employer. We have a staff. We have people who show up to work every day. They do their darndest under the most extreme circumstances. They don't know what's happening. There's a lot going on. They can't keep abreast of all of it. None of us can. But every day, our staff shows up, and they do their best. And to dissolve the district takes away their livelihood. And every day, the process has been eating away at their morale. It's taking its toll on our staff. And I regret. Represent me no matter what. And you are our link to representative government. Some of these I heard just tonight. And they strike a chord. I worked hard to be a director. I'm very proud to be a director. I'm humbled every day by my community asking me to be in this seat. I'm not interested in resigning. I enjoy it. It's weird as that may be, I do enjoy it, and I'm honored. What I kind of heard coming out of tonight is a bit of unity. What happened, happened. The old board started a project. It sent us on into a financial path that we couldn't have afforded if the stars had aligned and everything ran smoothly. The community could not afford what it was facing. What the $40 million does now, those are inflated figures. As I calculated, the contractors combined claim that they are owed $23 million. Look around. They were here for a few weeks. They tore up some streets. They put in 3,000 feet of pipe. We have 42 miles of pipe needs to be installed. 3,000 feet was installed. The trees at Tri-W was $50,000 to remove. The soil turned over at Tri-W, the restoration bond estimates $225,000. So I don't see $23 million worth of work in our community. And I don't believe Taxpayers Watch, CCLO, Case, or Joe Citizen believes those contractors are entitled to $23 million. And I think we can all unite behind Jay Michelson to argue that. I think we can. The 23, the two sixes, and then lawyers, Wildan, Ripley, Taxpayers Watch, all these claims add up to 40, 45 million. Are they all due what they claim? Heck no. And I think we can unite behind that. Heck no. They're not due $40 million. And even if the county could somehow wrap that into your sewer bill, I'm not going to vote for a 218 that includes $40 million of inflated prices. No way. And the county, in order to succeed at taking over the project, as Mr. Barrow said, they have not taken over the project. They will not take over the project until you give them that authority through your positive 218 vote. They don't want to put that price in there. They will not succeed. So I think Mr. Golden is right. We can unite. Strangely, it's against this $40 million that none of us wants to pay. I've been criticized in different places that maybe I'm a little outspoken, and I'm probably not going to change. But that maybe I like to litigate. Some of the comments that the press likes to pick up is that, you know, Tacker said AB 2701 may be ironed out in court. That's what we're doing. AB 2701 is ambiguous. And now, because of its inconsistencies within itself, those are the things that are argued in court today. It wasn't that Julie Tacker was going to take it to court and sue it. I saw it. And that's what's being ironed out. So I hope that we're at a place where Mr. Michelson is working carefully, and we can come to some agreement with the county. You know, a few weeks ago, those bids. Rob Miller, our trusted district engineer, recommend they rebid. And even the regional board gave us breathing room that said, if you need to rebid, we understand. The board threw caution to the wind and forced the project ahead. And that's why, part of why we're in this mess. A couple of people I want to thank. Bo and Lacey Cooper. They worked all summer with a Monday night meeting they held. They called their committee the AB 2701 committee, and they worked for amendments. They helped see the ambiguity and the inconsistencies throughout the bill, and they recommended and pushed this board to try to make changes to the bill. Unfortunately, not all of those happened, but I don't want their efforts to be forgotten. Lacey, in particular, worked very hard also this summer when it came to the dissolution rebuttal from the district. She, I think, made it very clear how important local government is, and helped express that to LAFCO. And then I can't name them all, but I want to thank specifically Bev and Bill Moylan for being on the front line, being warriors through the CDO process, how frightening that is. And I commend you. And I hope that the district has supported you. I know our hands are tied and limited in what we can do, but the CDO recipients, you're very much in my thoughts and prayers and in my heart, and it aches for you. And I'm sorry that that has gone on, and I don't believe that it's necessary. I think the community knows how enough. It's had to have been scary. It's going to be scary. We're not done. And I thank you all for leaving me in this seat, because I do appreciate what you've asked me to do for you, and I will continue to represent you. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm assuming that these are your final comments for the evening. You're not okay. We're combining the comments from the hearing with the final comments from the evening. Were there any other comments that you'd like to make? Would the staff like to make any other comments at all at this time? Okay, I think most of everything has been said, so I don't need to repeat it. But just to echo some of the thanks, I want to say it myself too, to this community and all your efforts and participation in the government. It's been fantastic, and I appreciate it from every point of view. And thank you for your input. It's really important. And I surely don't want to dissolve this district. I have such a lesson in local government and its importance in our lives, our daily lives. And it's all of us together. We're nothing without you. We're nothing. We're the reps, but it's you. And we need you. And you're very important. And the staff, with what you've had to put up with lately, I'm just amazed that you're still halfway smiling. And I just appreciate it so much. All of you, Mr. Michelson, Mr. Onstadt, Ms. Hugh, Ms. Vega, Ms. Kudar, and please convey our compassion for the staff, what they've had to go through lately. I feel it every day. I don't sleep very well anymore. And just the appreciation of all the efforts you've put in to all of you. I appreciate all of that. A few things also that might be of interest to the public. I'm in the process of compiling, I'm kind of a research kind of person, and I am compiling a list of documents that you might be interested in. They will all be available at the district through public records requests or whatever, but they will kind of give you a history of what's happened. If you want to, as one speaker put, connect the dots between some of the actions that have happened, I'm kind of compiling a list of how I did the research to make sure that I understood what happened, from the contractors to the SRF loan to the Regional Water Board, all of those things. There are a lot of documents that are available, and if you're interested, they're there for your use, so you can follow the picture for your own self. So those will be available, and my list, kind of like a bibliography or whatever, will also be available. Situation right now with the negotiations, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want to hear from you and other ways. He says this is his top priority, is helping us solve our problem, and that is very exciting. So I think he's ready to hit the ground running, and I encourage all of you to contact him on helping Los Osos. So I was encouraged. Reminder about the committees. Our committees application process is in process. I don't think we brought any tonight. Nope. But go by the office or email and you can get an application. All our committees will be up for reappointment on February 1st. So this is the month to apply. And then committees are fantastic for getting the details that you might want about our activities. And committee appointments. I mentioned about them. Finding out more about the SRF loan might be important because a lot of people have confusion about that. There were hearings in January of 2005 that are on tape. There are examples of documents and faxes and letters and CDs that were all submitted to the state. I was there. If you have any questions, I can tell you what I learned. I've studied the SRF documents in detail, and I could kind of outline a history if you're interested. If you ever have any questions, please let me know. It is very important about this SRF loan, what happened. And we surely don't want to dissolve because we want to see that resolved. And finally, let's see, the last thing was making one ad hoc committee appointment this evening, and that's to help the attorneys, both the legal and the bankruptcy proceedings, and I'm appointing Chuck Sasania and myself to that committee because we've been working with them so far, and we will continue to work for them to make sure that we can get through this next month, and we'll be reporting back to the board and the community at every opportunity. So I wanted to make that announcement. And with that, Happy New Year and good night. See you next week.